Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Youth Hoops Pod presented by Pro Skills Basketball. Today, we are coming at you with a conversation about a blog that we have recently written. So joining me today on the podcast is PSB co-founder Brendan Winters. Welcome to the podcast, Brendan.
Thanks, man. Happy to be here.
Yeah, man. Good to have you. So recently, we put out a blog called AAU Basketball, The Ultimate Guide. And essentially, the idea behind this blog is to answer a lot of questions about AAU basketball, which we get a ton of. People are kind of wondering, what is it? You know, who should I play for? Where should I play? How much does it cost? So many questions. So we're going to really dive into this and try to answer as many of these questions as we possibly can. So Pro Skills has been an AAU basketball, part of AAU as an organization since 2012. We've been around this for a while. We've been doing it for a while. So we feel that we have a lot of knowledge to present here. So we have a couple of questions that we will ask for the beginner level of AAU basketball, the intermediate level, as well as at the end of the podcast, we'll touch on the advanced level. So let's jump right into kind of the beginner level, the basic questions of AAU basketball. So number one here, what we have is, what is AAU basketball?
Yeah, and something I'm going to add in there is the way we came up with these questions is we just found what were the most Googled questions around AAU basketball. So these are the most frequently Googled, searched for questions around AAU basketball. So yeah, the first one was obviously, what is AAU basketball? And AAU basketball, like, technically is a brand, Amateur Athletic Union Basketball. However, over the last number of years, it's become sort of a catch-all term for travel basketball or competitive basketball or club basketball. And it's sort of like Kleenex, how Kleenex is often used to talk about tissues. When someone says, hey, can you hand me a Kleenex? They're just talking about, hey, can you hand me a tissue? Kleenex is a brand. Tissue is the actual thing.
Good for it's, Kleenex.
They're pumped about it, I think. So, yeah, AAU basketball is actually Amateur Athletic Union, but it really stands for, it's a catch-all term these days for club basketball, travel basketball.
Yeah, and the second question actually was, what does AAU stand for? So you've answered that. It's the American Athletic Union. Maybe speak slightly on what the American Athletic Union is.
Yeah, they have all sorts of different, I mean, all different sports, baseball, football, cheerleading, volleyball. And in each one of those cases, it's club, whatever club sport that is, whatever, you know, travel, competitive, all of that. So, you can just go to their website, just Google Amateur Athletic Union. You can read a lot more about them.
Yeah, I think to put kind of in it in scale for everyone to realize, like, the American Athletic Union has nearly 700,000 members across the United States, 150,000 volunteers, and 41 across 41 different sports programs and 55 different U.S. districts.
They're
so
huge.
It's this massive, massive organization. And I think, like you said, it so often gets confused with, like, it's just, I mean, I think it's very heavily attached to basketball. People think AAU basketball is just when I go travel and run around, and that's not what it is. It's an organization.
Yeah, and I'm not sure any other sport has this issue. I don't think people say, like, AAU baseball, and that's kind of, like, I know they say club baseball, or it's club cheerleading,
club soccer,
club volleyball, club soccer. So I think it might be basketball that is the only one that has this occur. You know, to be honest with you, I know AAU basketball, or I know AAU does not like that. And that's because AAU basketball oftentimes, especially nowadays, has a negative connotation to it. Like, if you hear some of these NBA players talking about it, or, I don't know, coaches, high school coaches talking about it, like, AAU is the culprit for, the scapegoat for all things that are wrong with youth basketball, when that, first of all, is not true. It's a scapegoat. But the Amateur Athletic Union does not like that AAU is being used in kind of a a negative connotation, sort of way.
Yeah, I'm going to go off the side real quick, just out of my personal interest. Do you know, like, how long this has been? Was there a time when it wasn't referred to as AAU basketball, or has it just been AAU for as long as you can remember?
Yeah, I actually don't know when it started, but I think it started back when I was kind of coming up in high school, the late 90s, early 2000s,
yeah.
I think is when it started. And
so it's been there for a while.
Yeah, and, like, you can actually certify your club or your team. You can become an AAU, an official AAU member. You sign up on their website, you pay a little bit of money, and there's some benefits to it. Like, I think you get some insurance and things like that. And there's actual AAU events, real AAU events that are certified by AAU. And again, some benefits to that.
Yeah.
But there's also a lot, especially nowadays, of what we call, like, non-sanctioned events or non-sanctioned clubs. And it just means that they're not affiliated officially with AAU, even though they may call themselves, like, AAU. And most of the times they're really just using that term just because that is, I mean, we use that term.
Although
we do play AAU tournaments and things like that, not all the time, but we do play some. It's just that's the easiest term to use to help people understand what you're talking about.
Yeah, I think you mentioned it briefly. It'll segue us nice into the third question under the beginner level. How do you start an AAU basketball team?
Yeah, so like I said, you can just easily, anyone can go to their website and sign up and pay a little bit of money and become certified. But that's also one of the... I think that's how we've gotten to this place in youth basketball. It's so easy to create your own team. Yeah, it's very saturated. Like, Johnny's dad's not happy with playing time on Team X. Well, he
leaves.
Start
Team Johnny.
Yeah, start Team Johnny. You know, get 8-9 other guys. You can go to AAU website and sign up there if you want. Or you don't have to do that. You have Team Johnny, and it's not actually affiliated with AAU.
So you don't even have to be AAU certified.
No. Just, you don't have to do anything. You just have to get 10 kids, buy some uniforms, get a coach, and probably a dad, and, you know, we'll roll the ball out there and sign up for a tournament, and we'll get going.
Yeah. I mean, that could go very wrong. And at the same time, you could have been Team Brendan, and it could be a good organization, but I think more often than not, we don't see that go well. I think that segues into, let's say you're not looking to start a team, but you want to join a team. How do you join an AAU basketball team?
Yeah, so again, if we're talking about an official AAU team, go to their website, and they have kind of a search option there. But if you're just looking for, the general club basketball team, you go to Google, do a little search, AAU basketball organizations, AAU basketball tryouts, or travel basketball teams, and, you know, typically teams from your area will pop up in that search, and go to their website and do the normal phone call, email, whatever it is, contact page on there.
Yeah, so whether you're looking to start a team, join a team, next question that pops up is either of those options, when does AAU basketball start? When is the season?
It varies from city to city in terms of when the first, you know, tournaments typically are. But normally springtime is the main AAU basketball season, and then early summer as well. And it depends on age also. So, like, in the summer times, high schoolers are typically off in June to go play with their high schools, but they play in July. And for the young kids, they typically play like March, April, May, sometimes into June, a lot of times into June or halfway into June or whatever it might be. So, the main season is spring and the early part of summer.
And you'll see it some in the fall and winter, correct?
Correct. And again, we're talking about generally club basketball here. There's always fall leagues, there's always winter leagues. So our teams play in the spring.
Yeah.
They play in that first part of summer. They play in fall leagues. They play in winter leagues, and so they play a little bit every season. Yeah. But the main heaviest part is during the spring.
Yeah. We'll segue into our next one. A very subjective question, as we've put in the blog. I think a tough one to answer, but I think we'll provide our expertise on it. Something that's commonly searched: is AAU basketball worth it?
Yeah, this was an interesting question when it popped up. Again, we didn't come up with these questions. This was just the sixth
most frequently
asked questions. Yeah. So when I answered this, It just depends. It's very subjective. Like, it depends what parents are looking for. Are they just looking for a team to kind of kill some time for little Johnny and get him a little court time, get him some games, and just very transactional? Like, I'm going to pay X amount of dollars for Y amount of court time. Like, and that can, that cost can vary. And if that's all you're looking for, just something kind of transactional, kill some time, maybe, yeah, you know, help him grow a little bit as a player, like, that might be what you're looking for. Or, and we'll get into that more later.
Yeah.
Or are you looking for something more as like an investment into your child, where they're going to learn a lot and be on the court quite a bit, but going to learn more than basketball. But so yeah, there, it just all depends. Like, who is the coach? Is it a father coach, or is it a coach that the organization hired? What's the competition level? Does the club, are they organized? Do they communicate? So you typically pay for what you get.
Yeah.
And that's kind of a, I don't know, it's a general statement,
yeah,
but that's typically how it is. And there's, I mean, again, because the barriers to entry in AAU are so low.
There aren't any.
Yeah, you can get, you know, you can get something incredibly, you know, I don't know what the word is. You know, you can go, there's a big spectrum there.
Yeah.
You can
yeah.
be at the low end or the high end and yeah. everything in between.
Yeah, I think on the topic of that question, I think that's why this podcast is valuable, because we're going to try to explain to you every aspect of it. And then you decide. You decide what you're looking for. And not every program is for everyone. Some people are looking just to have a good time, and some people are trying to play at, you know, Carolina. It's what you're looking for.
Yeah, you're going to have to do some research. You're going to have to figure out, how many practices do I get? How many tournaments do we play? How long's the season? Who's the coach?
Yeah.
How long are practices and all that? And then you kind of take all that into account, check out what the cost is, and parents got to decide for themselves,
yeah,
yes, that's something I want to invest in or not.
Yeah. So I think the next thing that a lot of people ask, it is on age groups, who can and cannot play AAU basketball. So if you're somewhat familiar with AAU, you'll see a lot of 15U, and you'll hear a lot of 16U and a lot of these terms referring to the ages. But one that is very commonly asked is, can you play AAU basketball as a senior in high school?
Yeah, and I think this is a question coming from parents with kids that want to play basketball in college typically, mm-hmm, but maybe don't have any offers by that point.
Yeah.
So they are wondering if they can play as a senior. And the answer is sometimes.
Yeah.
Sometimes there's technically, yes, you can, but there's not often unsigned senior teams offered in your area. So it just mm-hmm. really depends where you are as to if you can play as a senior. Usually the last spring, summer of AAU basketball is when you're a junior. And then as a senior, that spring and summer, you don't play. But some kids will play, kind of holding out hope that they're still going to end up playing basketball in college, which some do. Like, there's some real gems to be found from unsigned senior showcase camps or unsigned seniors that are playing on teams, and they'll often go D2, D3, well, not D3, no, actually normally D2, every once in a while Division 1, but typically if you're not sure where you're going to play basketball in college by the time you're senior year, you either need to like do a post-grad year like I did at prep school and do kind of a grade 13 sort of thing, or you kind of just need to call it a day and go to school as a student or try to walk on somewhere.
Yeah, interesting you say that. I'll plug in an extra question here. Do you think it's worth it to play in an unsigned senior? I know you spoke on it briefly, but how, in your experience, from what you've seen, do you see it work out well in terms of trying to get to the next level? Because I don't really see any other reason why you would play AAU as an unsigned senior if your motive wasn't to try to get to the next level.
Yeah, again, it really just depends. Like, it sometimes works out for the kid, but it really just depends on, like, if the kid is talented enough, skilled enough, you know, strong enough. Good. Maybe they truly are just overlooked.
Yeah.
Like, in my case, I felt like I was, and I was kind of young, too. That's probably something to consider. Like, if you're a senior and you're already 18 years old, like, you know, you probably should just kind of call it a day. But I was 17 years old. I was pretty young for my grade.
Yep.
I still felt like I had another year. And sure enough, that summer came. I gained 20 pounds once I turned 18. Yeah, went to prep school and got a bunch of offers after that. So it can be worth it. It's just, but it's very, it just depends on each situation. Yeah. So I would say in that case, those players and parents, they need to get outside advice from high school coaches, from other, you know, local AAU coaches or local scouts or whatever it might be. But sometimes it is, sometimes it isn't. Just depends.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, so on the beginner level, we know what AAU is. We know who can and cannot play age groups. We know how to start a team, how to join a team. Next very popular question is, does AAU basketball travel?
Yeah, that's that was an interesting phrased question, but mm-hmm. that's literally what yeah. it came up as. So I took it to mean, like, do you travel in AAU basketball?
Yep. It's got to be what it means.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So, again, it just depends. Some AAU basketball teams don't travel. Some do travel. And it just depends at also what which age group. Some AAU basketball clubs have fourth grade teams that travel in our opinion, pro skills basketball, that's ridiculous. Yes. You don't need to travel when you're in fourth grade. You don't need to travel when you're in sixth, seventh. We understand it one time or two times during the season, like maybe a season-ending tournament. Like a lot of teams will go to the beach, and it's kind of a family vacation sort of thing. Great. Like, we get that. But, like, yeah. I'm talking about there's teams out there that are fourth grade and trying to
– going across the country.
Yeah, going across the country to try to win a quote-unquote national championship. And we think that's ridiculous, but that is out there. On the other hand, like teams like us, our young teams do not travel. The only teams that travel are our high school teams for the purposes of playing in showcase events where college coaches are going to be there so that they can get recruited to play in college. We do have a couple younger middle school teams that will travel here and there just for the purposes of competition. But that's like, you know, twice a season or mm-hmm. three times during the season. It's not like every weekend, and it's not, it's all drivable. It's nothing crazy. So, again, that just depends. And that's kind of something that parents need to, when they're doing their research on how much does it cost, that question we had earlier, or is it worth it? Like, take that into account. Like, what's the travel? Where? How much is the cost? Yep. Is that covered in the fee or is that extra? Etc.
Yeah, moving into the final question of the beginner section of our blog and podcast here. You just kind of touched on it. I'm sure any parents out there that are listening and may be intrigued off the information they've heard here are obviously wondering, how much does it cost?
Yeah, and again, like all these questions, or most of them were just, it just varies again because youth basketball is a little bit like the Wild West of youth sports, again, because the barriers to entry are so small. So, like, the spectrum is just, it can range from being totally free to thousands of dollars. And it just, so, again, parents just need to do their research on what is offered for that price. It might be free, but you might have a father coach who doesn't know, or a mother coach who doesn't know a ton about basketball. There might be no communication. There might be, everyone might have a different uniform. It just might be super unorganized, or it might be great. I mean, it just depends. But so it's just, again, just varies. You got to do your research, got to dig in, got to ask questions and decide on kind of what we'll get more into it in the next, into the next section, but you just got to decide what your values are.
Yeah. Yeah. Moving into the next segment. So that kind of answers, that concludes our beginner section. Those were nine of the most frequently asked questions we could find. And I think that does a pretty good job of covering most of the basics of AAU. So we're going to move into our intermediate section now. So now you're looking at players that are on that cusp of, they want to take it a little more seriously, but they're also looking to enjoy themselves a little bit. So at that intermediate level, we decided to take an approach of giving you six things to look at when picking an AAU club. So we took it upon ourselves to say, hey, if you're at that point now and you're past, you know, what is an AAU team and you're really looking into it, what are the things you should be looking for in terms of trying to help you narrow down where should I play? So the number one thing we have here to look at when you're picking a club is the club's value. So I'll let you speak on that and why should they be looking at those things?
Yeah, because again, this can just vary wildly from, again, transactional, just paying X amount of dollars for Y amount of court time. That's it, nothing more. Or like what with us, we're trying to focus on teaching these kids life lessons that'll help them be successful off the court as well. So it just depends on what your values are. Like, do they, as a family, do you look at this as just, you know, a cost that you're going to pay, or is this an investment into the growth of your child? And so, again, it ranges. There's a big range, and you just gotta, again, do a lot of research, ask a lot of questions, figure out what your values are, what you want for your child, and does that align with the club or the team? And oftentimes they don't align, and if that happens, it's not going to turn out well.
Yeah. Yeah. I want to tag in on that for anyone out there listening who is here to kind of learn more about this. We're not saying that we're for everyone. We're not an organization that is for everyone out there. However, I do want to stress that, like, sports is such a teaching ground. And you can use this opportunity to invest a little bit financially into your child and get them into an organization that is going to use this sport to teach them lessons that they can take further down the road. And I think that's important to note when we talk about values.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, how much are you going to practice? Who are the coaches? All of that stuff we previously talked about. Like, we hire our coaches. They're typically non-parent coaches. Mm-hmm. Most of the time they are, unless there's some outside factor.
Very rare circumstances.
Yeah. We practice twice a week, a lot of skill development. We offer camps and clinics. There's tournaments and there's leagues. And then on top of that, it's the life lessons. You know, at Pro Skills, we talk about focus and our acronym for our kind of core values and the life lessons. We teach fun, overcome, compete, unity, and sacrifice. We try to teach those in everything we do. And so those are our values. Like, we look at this as an investment into each of our players. And sometimes, and like you said, that's not for everyone. Some people don't want to make that large investment into their child. Did they just want that straight transactional? And that's perfectly okay.
Mm-hmm.
But we are not for everyone. We're for the people that share our values.
Yeah. I think what's important to note here, we'll move into number two for us, which is coaches at this intermediate level and how important they are. You know, we can talk all day about what our values are, but at the end of the day, it's up to our coaches to carry that. So number two, let's speak on the value that a coach brings at that intermediate level.
Yeah, I think coaches are the most important piece because, I mean, they're going to be the ones interacting with your child the most. That's how your child's going to learn. It's the same thing. Like,
teacher,
you don't
school.
Go to, yeah, you go to school for the teachers,
yeah.
You know, and then there is some things like the school can offer in terms of organization, communication, facilities, and all that sort of stuff. But at the end of the day, it's about the teacher. Like, the teacher is going to kind of make or break the experience. And that's the same with us and our coaches. Like I said, we background check them, we interview them, we train them. They get PSB certified.
Mm-hmm.
Many of them are USA Basketball licensed.
Mm-hmm.
So they kind of jump through a few different hoops to coach with us, whereas there's some organizations, again, it's Johnny's dad, and he just is kind of, he thought he was pretty good in the local rec league coaching that team, so he wants to make the jump into AAU because he wants Johnny to be an NBA player, and so it's all built around him. So, like, in that case, it often doesn't end up well because it's built around one player, not for all 10 players.
Yeah. You mentioned it briefly. Our number three thing that you should look for when looking into a club, very aimed at the parents here because they're going to be the ones dealing a lot with traveling, when is practice, where is it at, what's going on this week. We've listed organization and communication.
Yeah, that's a big one, and that's a major thing that's lacking in youth basketball. Is it's often very hard to get a timely response from a club or a team or a coach, if you get any at all. So you can test this out. Like, when you do your Google search and do, let's say you live in Denver, Colorado, Denver AAU basketball, it comes up with probably, you know, at least the first page, 10 results or whatever.
Yep.
You can look at them. You can do a little research, click on them, call them, email them, fill out their contact form on their page. So let's see if they get back to you.
Yeah.
Do it again with some work. Do they get back to you? You know, how easy is it to communicate with them? Do they have a decent looking website? Is it organized? That's often a direct reflection of how organized the season is going to be. It's like, and to be fair, like, there's some great people out there that do this as a part-time job, and they just don't have the time to put together a good website, or, you know, they can't be as timely as you might want them, because they, because it's a part-time thing for them, and they just do it because they love it, and it could be a great thing. So it's not always, you know, it's not always a direct reflection of, is this going to be a good experience or not? But if you're a parent that needs organization and communication to, you know, there's a lot of stuff going on with the kids. Mm-hmm. If you need that, then, you know, you better look for something and test it out, an organization that, that has great organization communication. If you don't care about that, okay.
Yeah.
No problem.
Yeah. I think that's important to talk about our next point. Number four for the things that we're looking at the intermediate level is practices and tournaments. And I think this goes hand in hand with organization and communication, because you're going to want your organization to tell you, hey, we're playing this tournament at this date. We're practicing at these times on these days. Oh, something happening with the facility. Well, hey, we're changing it to this facility at this time and trying to be on top of that. So speak on practices and tournaments in terms of what you want to look for in an organization.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's, you know, you have the first piece of that, which is kind of the quantity of practices and tournaments. How often do they practice? How often do they play? Some teams don't practice at all. They just kind of, they play in games, they roll the ball out and like just go. But others like us, we practice twice a week, you know, for 3 hours or so total. We say we don't play every weekend. We're going to do about two tournaments on average, or
a month.
Two tournaments a month, mm-hmm. On average. So it just, and again, there's teams out there that don't practice but play every weekend. There's teams that practice more than twice a week, and then maybe play every weekend. So you got to look at the quantity, but then also kind of the quality, I guess, would be like competition level, mm-hmm. and is it a good fit for your child? AAU basketball these days is kind of the new, it's like competitive rec basketball, really. Like,
yeah.
It's a lot of kids play AAU basketball. Whereas before it was much, you know, 10 years ago, it was much more exclusive. Like most
Absolutely.
Kids played rec and then only the best played travel basketball
yep.
or AAU basketball. These days it's like a lot of them play AAU basketball, and that's fine. That's great. Like more kids playing basketball. But that also means that there's different levels. There's kind of that elite level where it's really good players, like
yeah.
really good.
Yeah.
And if you're only kind of a mid-level player playing with a bunch of elite, like you might not get much playing time on the team, or you're going to get your butt kicked every day and get upset and quit basketball potentially. Or vice versa. You could be a really, really good player and then playing with a team that's kind of almost like a rec level team, and you're just dominating and you're not getting, so you got to find and look for what is kind of the best fit in terms of level for your child. And again, that can vary pretty widely.
Yeah, and we've talked a lot here about values, and we've talked about a lot of things that might be just a little more than that ball bouncing on the court. So our fifth thing to look for at the intermediate level is, what other benefits is this organization bringing you? Yeah, are they just handing you a jersey and say, hey, Sunday at 2, we're playing. If we win, we play at 4. You know, or is this organization going to provide you a little bit more than that?
Yeah, and again, it just depends what you want as a family, what you want for your child. Do you want them to get some other skill development, like some clinics, some camps, some training? Like, that's what we offer at Pro Skills, is if you play for us, you're going to get some summer camps in there. You're going to get some holiday camps. You're going to get some training. You're going to get some clinics, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's a comprehensive program that we offer. But some, just like we said, they don't practice. They only play in games. Just show up, you know, get a run in and go home. And that's fine if that's what you're looking for. But if you're looking for something more, then you got to dig into that and see what else you offer. I mean, there's also, besides kind of the on-court, there's other, like, we do a lot of, like, this podcast, for instance. Like, we offer a lot of educational content. And we offer some kind of exclusive content to our parents as well, some educational stuff for our parents, our players. So there's more than just on-court stuff as well.
Yeah, and lastly, we have number six here again, cost. But I think it's a different conversation from the beginner level, because at that beginner level, sure, maybe you are just looking for a glorified rec league and you just want your kid to sweat, get out there, play some hoops, kind of learn the ground of it. But if you're at this intermediate level, you're starting to think a little more seriously about this. Maybe your kid does have some game, you see some promise there. to get in a good organization, it's going to cost you just a little bit. So speak on cost at this level.
Yeah, and this is an interesting topic that actually I think we should do a whole podcast on, because there's a lot of folks out there that think for some reason youth sports, and especially youth basketball, you find it should not cost anything. Like, it should be free all the time, no matter what. And yeah, it's ridiculous, because it's expensive to rent gyms and get insurance and get coaches and enter tournaments and yeah, all that sort of stuff. But there's also a saying that I really like that I actually only recently heard, and I'll shout out co-founder Logan Kosmalski on this. It's price is only an issue in the absence of value. So really, you got to look at what does the organization offer, and what is the value that they create, or what are they offering? And then you got to decide, is it worth it or not?
Which you do with every service or product that you search for out there. You look, is it bringing you value? Is this service going to bring me something that I'm, you know, consider valuable? I think, yeah, it's interesting that is definitely very often an opinion, is that this should be free. But it's a service industry or a product industry in some situations, just like any other. Such interesting. We've tagged on a little number 7 bonus here for those intermediate players who have a chance to play at that next level. So we did a little bonus of college recruiting history, expertise, and guidance. I'm going to have you speak on that. Still at this intermediate level of play.
Yeah, this was kind of just a bonus because we get this question a lot, but it only applies to high school players. Mm-hmm. No one needs to worry about college recruiting when they're in middle school or elementary school. Mm-hmm. It's fine if you want to learn about it and how the process works, but just understand it doesn't actually apply until you're in high school. So that's why this was kind of a bonus, is it doesn't apply to all age groups. But yeah, for high school players and especially those that want to play in college, they should be looking into, I want to play for Club X. What is their recruiting history? Have they sent players to college?
Yeah.
Do they seem to know about the college recruiting process? Are they willing to guide us through that process?
Yeah.
And we have all those things. We have over 100 players playing in college, Division I, II, III, NAIA, JUCO. We also have a team full of experts. Like, a lot of us have gone through the recruiting process ourselves. But on top of that, we are willing and able to guide our players and parents through the process. And we've done, even this podcast, we've done a lot on college basketball recruiting. We've written blogs on it. I've written an 80-page ebook on it. That's free to download.
Yep. As well as our partnership with Sports Recruits.
Yeah, so now this year we're doing Sports Recruits, you know, and that an online management tool for our players to help with to help manage their recruiting. So that is important in high school. I think that's a big mistake that a lot of kids and parents make, is they go play for a team who doesn't know a lot about it, doesn't guide them through it, and it can hurt your recruiting.
Yeah.
Especially kind of the mid-level and below players who need a little bit of help, a little mm-hmm. bit of guidance. You know, if you're a stud, like, you're gonna get found, but there's not many of them out there. So
yeah. Speaking of studs in this world, we've covered beginners, we've covered what AAU is, what the basic costs are and what that is. We've talked about the intermediate level as you're starting to get a little more invested into this. But finally here, we want to touch on the advanced level of players. So now we're looking at those studs. We're looking at guys that's like, hey, you're going to play college. So now what organization, what team is going to help you potentially reach your fullest possible potential in terms of, you know, getting a scholarship, getting a full ride scholarship, and such like that. So for our advanced level, we've put down 4 ways that an AAU basketball team and coaches can help high school players get recruited to play at that college level. So our first thing to kind of look for here is the style of play.
Yeah, I think this one's pretty often overlooked. And this is one of the, I think, the negatives about AAU basketball is that the style of play of teams, it's often very quick, up and down, press full court, layup, layup, steal, you know what I mean? And it's a little bit like organized chaos. And that's not what college basketball is. Mm-hmm. College basketball is some college teams have that strategy.
Certainly.
It's like, hey, we're going to create chaos. It's going to be organized. But that is very, I guess, it doesn't happen that often. Mm-hmm. you know, like VCU, I think, at least historically, has been one that's like, it's organized chaos. They get up, they Definitely. Press you, they try to get, and that's like, that's actually like a pretty good offense, you know, for AAU, or like to you can get a good evaluation watching AAU basketball for yeah. that style of play. But most college teams like have set offenses and set plays, and it's a lot more controlled. It's a lot more organized. And so it can hurt if you play for a team that plays a pretty unrealistic style of basketball that doesn't translate to the next level. Mm-hmm. It can sometimes be hard. It's harder for college coaches to get a true evaluation on you, because if you're a good shooter, something like that, but you're on a team that doesn't run any picks for you or try to find you yeah. and then set you up in your best spots, it's going to be difficult. Or like conversely, if you're a slasher and can get to the rim and finish, and you're on a team that runs like a lot of like slow motion kind of sets and mm-hmm. you know, doesn't get up and down, like that might hurt you a little bit too. So yeah. you got to look at the style of play and does that fit your child, so that when they get in front of college coaches, they can kind of put their best foot forward, and coaches can get a good true evaluation of, will this game translate to the next level?
Yeah, so the style of play is often heavily going to be influenced by the coach that is leading that team. And that's our second point here on this advanced level, is figuring out what coaches are going to be coaching your kid, and what is their knowledge and experience. So speak on that.
Yeah, and we covered that in terms of just knowledge and experience of X's and O's and coaching and communicating with kids. But in this, we're kind of talking about their knowledge and experience of the college recruiting process. So, like, have they gone through the process themselves, mm-hmm. like as a player, or have they gone through the process with their former players? Or are they new to the game and kind of they don't know? Because college basketball recruiting can be frustrating, can be confusing. Mm-hmm. There's a lot to know. It's recently especially been changing year to year
yeah.
with the NCAA stuff. So it's just, it's hard to stay on top of it. So do the team coaches, do they know the process? Do they have experience with it? Again, will they guide you through it?
Yeah.
I think this is the last point we'll get to, but are they proactive with mm-hmm. it, and are they willing to work for you? And we'll touch on that in a couple points.
Yeah, so again, to keep in perspective here, we are talking about this advanced level of player. Almost certainly they will play at some level of college basketball in this sphere that we're talking about. So our number three point that is going to be very important to this level of player is, what is their showcase tournament schedule?
Yeah, if you're not playing in front of college coaches in AAU, it's going to be hard to get recruited. I mean, you're basically just cutting in half your chances, because you basically have two chances. You have the high school season, which is difficult for college coaches to get to because they have their own season mm-hmm. Going on at the same time, so it's hard for them to travel.
Yep.
This is the great thing about AAU basketball is this is what a lot of people don't understand. And that's why when people are bashing it, they don't quite get this. It's the most efficient way for college coaches to recruit. It's the most efficient way for them to evaluate, because mm-hmm. you get a collection of typically good players or kids that are number one, number two, number three, four, five on their team, and they get together like an all-star team, and then they're able to go play tournaments when the college coaches are out of their season and are able to come on the road and recruit, mm-hmm. and they're able to see a bunch of talented players in one gym at one time over the course of a couple days, they can see hundreds, if yep. not thousands, of really good players. Where during the high school season, if they can get away from their college team, they come to a high school game, and at best, they're seeing two or three prospects that they typically really want. So with all that said, it's important if you want to play in college that you play on a team that plays in what we call a showcase tournament style schedule, and by showcase tournaments I mean NCAA evaluation period
yep.
tournaments, where college coaches are allowed to come in, sit down in the bleachers or wherever and evaluate mm-hmm. you as you play. Not every tournament is certified to allow coaches to come in like that. And they typically cost a little bit more money to enter. And that, again, that goes back to the cost of the team. If it's free, you might not be playing in those.
Yeah, yeah.
Because those are about double or triple what it normally costs. So, yeah, the showcase tournament schedule is super important, especially as a 10th and 11th grader.
Yeah, I'm going to tag an additional note to that. Like, those coaches know that tournament schedule. They don't always know your high school schedule, right? So they know where you're going to be on those showcase tournament weekends, and they're going to be there for that. They don't know that you're playing whoever on a Friday night unless, again, you're already that stud that they know about. So this is a place where you know the coaches are going to be at, and you'll have a chance to show out on.
Yeah, and a lot of times, most of the time, what happens is 100 coaches come to a tournament, if it's like a big, good one.
Mm-hmm.
100 college coaches come. They have a target list of, like, you know, 5 kids. One of those kids is playing a game, so they're sitting down watching, and then another kid on the same team or the other team starts killing, and that college coach is like, oh, who's that?
Yep.
And writes him down. Now he's recruiting that player or trying to get an evaluation on them. So these tournaments are really good, you know, to, I guess, initiate more recruitment than you had before.
Yeah, I think that's a good segue into our final point here on this advanced level, and that's proactivity. That's being prepared and knowing that these things are coming and getting ahead of that recruiting game, as well as having your organization prepare you for that recruiting game. So speak finally on proactivity as we talk about these advanced level players.
Yeah, this is a big thing that I think a lot of people just don't understand. Like, they think college basketball recruiting is just going to come to them, mm-hmm. right? Which is sometimes the case. And it's especially the case if, again, if you're a stud, a top 100, 200, even 300 player, it will come to you. But for everyone else, like including me, and I played mid-major Division I at Davidson, like I had to be very proactive about my recruiting. I mm-hmm. made a player profile for myself. I had game film. I was sending that out to college coaches. So there's a bunch of different ways that coaches and teams can be proactive for their players, and I just mentioned a couple of them, but it's like, you know, creating player profiles and emailing college coaches and helping distribute the game film or the highlight films yep. or whatever it is, and just being proactive and intentional about getting their players seen or heard of by college coaches and getting their videos out there. And it takes a lot of work. It's a lot of work. So some people just don't have the time. Again, if they're doing this part-time, it's difficult. Calling college coaches and even just getting that contact information can be hard. So proactivity is a huge piece for most college recruits.
Yeah, I want to speak on the flip side of it real quick as we conclude. Like you were saying, you had to put a lot of work into it to be able to get to that mid-level. I was on the opposite side where I didn't really know too much about it, didn't put much of any work in it. I think I could have easily been a good Division II player, potentially higher, but I just didn't know enough and didn't really put myself in that position. So from my perspective, I mean, this is huge. This is huge of getting a player. You know, I averaged, you know, double-digit figures in high school, could have played at that level, but didn't have someone directing me that way as well as I should. And so I think this is just enormous for helping kids get to that level.
Yeah. So that's a great example is like, you are like the prime person for this information. Mm-hmm. It's like you understood what the beginner level was. I think you even understood the intermediate level, mm-hmm. At least some of it, but you didn't quite understand this last piece. But if you did, or if your parents or whoever knew, and this is why we're putting this out there for parents, mostly for parents, but shoot, if a player like you is going to read it, like I think you would have gotten a lot of value from it.
Yep.
And that's exactly what this is for, is to help kids like you. And I can vouch for that, having played with you and seen you, that you could have been a college player, but you just didn't know what to do.
Absolutely.
But if you had played for a team or a coach that, A, knew what to do, and then B, with this proactivity part, was willing to go do it and help you out.
Yeah.
Things might have turned out differently.
Absolutely, yeah. Man, in conclusion, I think we look at this, and it's this AAU basketball, which should be club basketball. Right there, it's confusing from the jump. It can be frustrating for a lot of people. We just spoke of my example. I didn't know these things, so I didn't get to the level I could have been at. And I think that's why this podcast and this blog and this information is so huge for parents out there. Do you have any concluding thoughts, kind of closing this out?
Yeah, no, I wrote the blog about it. We're doing this podcast. We put out a lot of information on college basketball recruiting and about just AAU basketball in general. So yeah. Check out our blog. You can click through it and find different articles. Check out more of these podcasts if mm-hmm. you haven't already. We have a lot just generally on both topics, and sometimes they intersect like they did today. So our whole goal is just to, in the confusing and sometimes frustrating landscape of youth basketball, make it more clear, make
provide
it more understandable, yes, provide clarity mm-hmm. and reduce frustration.
Yeah.
Of parents, of players, and just help everyone have a better experience. Because we think AAU basketball is amazing. It's great. We love the organization AAU, but we also love generally the catch-all AAU basketball. Like, we think it's great. There's so much to be learned through competition and competitive sports. So that's our whole goal. That's the reason we're doing this. Check us out on all the social channels and all that. And if you have any questions, email us, call us. We'll try to help you out as best we can.
Yeah, anyone out there listening, we appreciate you being here with us today. Like Brendan said, check us out on our social media platforms at ProSkills Basketball on everything other than Twitter, at ProSkills B-Ball. And if you reach out to us, we will gladly try to give you as much information as we possibly can and help you. So thanks, everyone, for joining. Brendan, thanks for chatting with me. It was a good one, and we will be with you all soon. Thanks, Brendan.
Thanks.